The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 364. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Good to see you.
It's been too long.
I know. I haven't seen you in a while.
You're wearing the shirt I like so much. I came out of my bedroom today to get ready to go to work.
Yeah.
Colin's sitting on the couch, and I saw his back. I was like, you're wearing the shirt I like.
What is it about that shirt that draws
it's
your eye?
It's just good. It's got good color. These are not Colin colors.
Oh, I have a little stain on the shirt. Yeah.
Well, that's all of your clothes. I don't think there's any stain from?
I don't know.
You know what?
It looks like some of the little fabrics that got stuck to your shirt.
That's not really a stain.
It looks like toothpaste.
That's just fabric.
It's not toothpaste because I brush my teeth in the shower.
Okay.
You brush your teeth in the shower?
Yeah.
Do you make salad in the shower like Kramer?
No, I wish I did. But
Does the toothpaste live in the shower?
No. So I brush my teeth at night, over the sink, unless I take a shower, in which I do it in there. I love brushing my teeth in the shower. It's a Moriarty family tradition. Everyone does it.
Family.
Do you guys do it together?
Sometimes we take showers together, yes.
Do you take showers? Really?
We don't take showers together. That would be a little weird. But no, my dad, I think, has been doing it like most of his life, and then my sister started doing it. And then you see like toothbrushes like left in the bathtub when you're a kid, and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And then you do it, and you realize it's actually like a great way to brush your teeth. Yeah.
Well, it's not any more gross than anything else that happens in the bathroom in general. I mean, really, like when I lived in Japan and they put the toilet in its own little room, like separate from everything else, separate from the sink, separate from the shower. It's such a good idea because you think about what happens every time you flush that thing.
Yeah, you shut it, but then these
things should not be in the same room.
Right.
It's really disgusting. All of Western civilization is doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're living still. We're surviving. Our immune systems are up.
It's all pipes.
It's all pipes. Ladies and gentlemen, as if you didn't know, in the ever-rotating third chair, none other than the Reverend Jared Petty.
Hallelujah. Nice to see y'all.
Hey, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
This is your first time back since July, I believe.
Yeah, it's been
a running list. I keep a running list of where everybody is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's
nice. Why are you running while you're making the list?
I got to lose weight somehow, right? Because that's what I'm all about, eating greens and team fat.
Are you eating the greens?
Well, I like greens to begin with. Broccoli's my, fourth favorite food?
Did you just take a profanity note?
Yeah. I did it, not you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I caught it.
Oh, you caught it.
Okay. Oh, my God. Last week, everybody wanted to give us a hard time about the curse words, Colin.
Oh, really?
Not in a bad way. People were excited the curse words were back, but it really that I was running on a tight schedule. I had to get home, do another show. Mm. And so we're here. We're running through it. I import the audio. I bleep out the curse words. Then I notice there's a hum behind the audio off of the camera.
Oh.
So I'm like, good thing I always have the backup going. I went and got the backup file, threw it in there, forgot to bleep that, put that live. That then set me back because we were going to New York Comic Con. That I had to go through and then find all the curse words in the video version to put the video version up. That didn't happen until yesterday when I landed, came back to home. I finally had time, came back home, edited out the curse words, put it up. People email me back, say, hey, you screwed up the name bars. So then I got to reprocess the video, which takes an hour and a half, then try to re-upload it. IGN loses it when I this episode 363 was a nightmare. It was the cursed episode of Podcast Beyond.
Altogether, how much
from a production standpoint?
Has a voodoo shaman laid a curse on you? Have you offended?
I don't know. It must have been like when Clements left, instead of cursing me thinner, he was like 363.
It was Clements just made? Oh, not thinner though.
No, not thinner.
Well, that would be a good curse.
No, it isn't. Not for you.
I didn't mean to sell. I did not mean that cruelly at all. But I'm losing weight, and so
you are.
You're
no longer eating the nacho cheese diet.
I am not. I have lost 35 pounds.
Good for you. That's fantastic.
Twitter. Working on it. Twitter. What are you trying to get down to?
My ultimate goal is to hit 225, then muscle up a little bit, and then drop down to about 200. So 225 is my first goal.
Where are you now?
Right now I'm at about 249.
Okay.
I started at 283.
Wow. When you say that, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, so I got a long way to go.
It's hard. Losing weight's hard.
It's it's a low calorie diet. It's nothing crazy, no gimmicks at all. I'm calorie counting and avoiding processed sugar, and that's it. And I'm exercising regularly. And what do you know? If you don't put a lot of calories in your body and you exercise, you lose weight.
Calories in, calories out.
Yeah, so that's how it works.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Greg, let me hit you with something real quick.
Lay it on me.
I haven't told anyone about this. This is a strange conundrum I've encountered.
Podcast Beyond exclusive.
Da, da, da.
I am, for a long time, and I can't explain why, and everyone I think knows that's been listening to this show for a long time, certainly in the office, I play my games inverted. Specifically, I play them inverted, the y-axis.
You're wrong. Yeah. You'd like to be wrong.
So down is up, up is down. And all
okay. Sure.
And this, I didn't play Flight Sims as a kid or anything like that, so I didn't touch your controls.
You like how immediately I checked in? Minecraft's out in Vita, everybody. Stop what you're doing. Quit your jobs.
So I started, this has always been natural to me. I can't play the games any other way, right?
Okay, sure.
Stick in the back of the head, press down to look up.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I look at it. Then I played Destiny. And something weird happened.
It clicked.
I couldn't play it either way.
Oh,
like I was like,
what?
Yeah. So like,
that may just be destiny, Colin.
No, because it really, I thought it was too. Maybe I'm like, maybe something's wrong. Like
this game,
like the y-axis runs into the x-axis at a certain point on the analog stick in the 360 degree circle. That's making it weird. Like I couldn't find a comfortable way. I kept switching back and forth like every 5 minutes. I'm like, I can't play.
That's odd.
It's really like something like went off my brain, and I actually started playing it uninverted.
Okay.
And like found a comfortable space. I'm not playing it as well as I usually play a shooter, but like something's weird where I'm like, I can't play the game inverted anymore. And then I played Borderlands 2 on Vita, which is a mess. Sorry, okay. I cursed.
No, good.
And I played it for like, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever it was. And I couldn't play that inverted either.
You're growing up.
You play it the other way?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel natural. Like every so often, like I'm like, I keep switching back and forth. Like something's going on in my head where I can't play the game like, I'm like thinking about it too much. I don't know if this happened to anyone out there before, but I've played like an extraordinary amount of games, like, and always invert the camera and always invert the movement in the y-axis, and now like something's like super screwed up in my head, neither feels right.
This happened to me midlife. I was an inverted axis guy. I was an old flight sim guy, and I played inverted axis mostly mouse and keyboard because I'm a WASD snob. And then I bought a retro copy of Alien versus Predator on Steam. The FPS, the PC one. And I started playing it. I hadn't played an FPS in a couple of months. And something had switched in my brain. And now I don't play inverted anymore. And it doesn't work. I can't go back. I play games that I used to play inverted, uninverted. I have no idea why.
Yes.
I have no rationale for this. I really believe that something fundamentally broke within me. And
that's
just changed.
That's the way I feel too. And that's what's so scary about it. I literally, when I was playing Destiny, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I'm broken.
Like I'm like, I don't know how to play anymore. Yeah. Like that was like literally happened. I'm like, neither of these. And that's the same thing. It's not that necessarily uninverting Y feels right. It's that neither of them feel right anymore. I don't know what the hell is going on. Sometimes I'll run around for a few minutes and be fine, and then suddenly I'll be looking at the floor or the ceiling, and I'm like, well, this is very weird.
Do you know what a TIA is, Colin?
A TIA,
yeah, it's like a mini stroke. Maybe that was it.
Maybe
a tiny part
of your
brain.
Not to give you anything else to
nerd. Once we hit about 26 years old, our brains start to die. Maybe your brain is beginning to die, and that part that controlled that part, like, it just
other parts of my body are dying, so why not?
Yeah, why not the rest?
My colon's dead, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It smells like it.
Sure does.
See what I did there? Because butt smell.
Yeah, they do. They do. They have a fragrance, and it ain't potpourri.
That's it. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because that was a very disturbing moment in my gaming life, actually. And I'm not over it yet, and I have the evil within now that I want to play, and I'm going to have the same problem. I'm going to be like, I don't know.
Maybe it'll feel natural there. Maybe it'll feel natural.
I was playing Minecraft, so let me see Minecraft real quick.
Sure.
So I immediately, this feels okay.
He's playing Minecraft.
This feels okay, but.
He's got a rose in his hand.
But let me.
Are you going to invert him?
Yeah.
Let's go see which one happens.
Oh, okay. Invert look. So let me see how this. Yeah, this doesn't feel right. Something's wrong with it. Like,
well, that one's easy. You're not using mouse and keyboard. I mean, that's my answer.
I don't know, man. Like, something's just broken. I mean, in my head.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Neither of them feel. I don't know.
Thanks for switching back. You're a real friend.
A year from now, you're going to be a political liberal. That's what's happening. It's all reversing. It's all turning around.
Just kill me.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's PlayStation podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. Each and every Tuesday, if everything goes correctly, you get the MP3. Then every Wednesday, the video posts on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and IGN's completely free PlayStation 4 app. Send your questions to be at Beyond. Send your questions to beyond@ign.com to be part of the show. Colin, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. How many items you got on the Roper Report? Look at it. Minecraft's
he's
already
just
got
playing Minecraft. That's how he's been seduced by Minecraft.
This is a negative one item. It's not a real item. It doesn't count towards a total. Thanks to everybody who came out to support us at New York Comic Con. Colin and I just got back yesterday from New York Comic Con. Had a great show there covering the event, but then also doing a bunch of panels. Each one of them, we had to turn people away, hundreds of people away, as usual. Y'all came out. You took photos with us. You took autographs. You were part of the show. The New York Comic Con episode of Podcast Beyond is live in MP3 and video form, so go see it. But it was awesome to be around those people.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time. New York's the best city in the world, and it was great to be home with my people.
Your people.
And so I saw something interesting about Comic-Con, actually, and I retweeted it. New York Comic-Con is bigger than San Diego Comic-Con.
That's what they're saying, yeah. It doesn't feel bigger, but it's interesting.
I did not know that.
And there's one other thing I want to say. There's just one other thing I want to say.
Here it comes.
Okay? I am so sick of everyone saying that E3 couldn't be in New York and couldn't fit in Javits Center. You are out of your mind if you think that E3 cannot fit in that place. That was what everyone was always saying. Like, LA is the only place that's going to really accommodate it. You know, you can't have it in.
Well, they used to have it in Atlanta, whatever.
You can't have it in Javits.
They had it in Atlanta. They can have it.
Well, they had
it
in Atlanta like 1995.
But it would fit. I mean,
so I was just there, and I was with Destin, actually, one of our video guys, and I was like, just look around and tell me that E3 couldn't fit in here, and better yet, that both E3 floors could fit in the one floor at Javits Center, you know, easily. Move E3 to New York.
Here's a question. Did
so we
you
don't
read
have to
the,
go to LA ever
did you
again.
Read beyond, did you read beyond the headline of Comic-Con bigger in New York than San Diego?
Did I read it?
Did you read? I saw the headline, but I didn't have time to read the story.
No, I didn't read the story. I
want to know what they're counting.
Probably just people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you that show felt way too crowded. I kept saying that they let in about 20% too many people this year. But like, you can't.
But on Comic-Con, on San Diego Comic-Con, you can't walk the show floor. Your asses to elbows, everybody's shoved in there, you're just slammed together. I never felt that way in New York. I was able to navigate around.
The
it was
floor?
Crowded.
You could navigate the
yeah,
floor?
Yeah, it was crowded. Oh, it's not like Comic-Con. It's not like San Diego Comic-Con. And that might just be the fact that maybe the way they're shoving everyone in is much tighter. You know what I mean? Tight.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con's like hell on earth.
Or something. Just kind of...
All right, there are 6 items on the list.
A baker's dozen.
That's not what that means, Greg.
I think it is.
No.
Number one, Sony has announced the PlayStation Experience, a 2-day show taking place in Las Vegas on December 6th and 7th of this year. It's a community event like PAX or NYCC that celebrates all things PlayStation, giving not only journalists and media, but consumers hands-on with upcoming PlayStation games. The show will focus on Sony's 2015 lineup. A 1-day pass costs $50. A 2-day pass costs $90. There's a little else known about the show right now, but we'll have more on this soon.
Can we call this Sony Space World?
We could.
Yeah.
It already has a name, though.
No, it already has a name. But
PlayStation Experience.
PlayStation Experience. I like Sony Space World better.
Colin, at New York Comic Con, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. We also made a video telling everyone to tell Shu that we need to do Beyond there. Mm-hmm. We need to go to this and do a live Beyond. Mm-hmm. So everyone, if you're listening, you missed the New York Comic Con one, I'll embed the video in today's episode of Podcast Beyond over on the little website we run called IGN.com. But also tweet at USP and tell them Beyond has to happen there.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, looking what do you think, Jared?
Oh, what? Having there? Amazing.
No, no, not us. Just in general, the event.
Oh, just in general. I think it's wonderful. I think any time that companies do direct outreach to their fans like this, it's great. Any kind of direct, the more video games, the happier I am. And the more straight to the people type stuff we have, the happier I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if someone's, I understand they're trying to sell me something, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm, show me great things that I want to buy, and I will come, and I will have a great time. So, yeah, I'm all in favor of something like this. I understand there's a point of saturation you can have in any market. However, this is a different kind of event. Sony fans are a loyal and vocal group of people, and having something just for them, kudos. I'm good with that.
I agree.
How do you feel about it, Colin?
It'll be good. I think there's way too many shows. It's becoming ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous how many shows there are.
But
that said, it's not really for us. It's for the people in those geographic locales. So we can't really look at it from our point.
Yeah, what's cool about it, right, is you have all the different PAXs, but you go to PAX and maybe you're a huge PlayStation fan, but you're in line next to a huge Nintendo fan or whatever, right? You get to see people at panels, but then you all disperse to go do different things. This is a concentrated group of everyone who loves PlayStation about All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And I understand that to a point, having a factionalism can be a negative thing. We've seen that played out on our site in a lot of ways and silly screaming, yelling, console war type crap. But there's also a nice part of being a partisan. And it's nice to see an opportunity for that promotes positivity like this.
Agreed. Number two. Sony's revealed the best-selling games on PS4, PS3, and Vita for the month of September 2014. On PS4, the top 5 best-selling games were Destiny, Minecraft, FIFA 15, Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and Infamous First Light.
Destiny beat Minecraft, huh?
Yep. Great. On PS3, The top five best-selling games were Destiny, Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto 5, FIFA 15, and Need for Speed Most Wanted, which I assume was on sale. And on Vita, the top five best-selling games were, and a lot of people are going to be really happy about this because you're probably going to get the sequel that was just announced, Sword Art Online, Hollow Fragment was the best-selling game on Vita in September. Oh. Don't Starve, Need for Speed Most Wanted, which again was probably on sale. Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair, and Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate. And by the way, you can talk about that briefly. I'm going to go get something I forgot.
Okay.
All right. Up, off he goes.
I wonder what he's forgot. Oh, I know forgotten. What he forgot. It's a fan. Sent him some stuff.
Oh, his fan sent him some stuff?
Yes, he's going to show it to us. I'm surprised Destiny beat Minecraft. I guess not because it's come to everything else. But like people flipped out. The network wasn't even working the day Minecraft came out.
Well, I mean, Minecraft's a huge deal, but Destiny's been a huge deal. And sure, Minecraft doesn't have the marketing push behind it.
I just thought when we're talking about like, because that was what is that? No,
what's happening?
Put me in the thing and send me to the space.
What is it?
And now you got to watch the videos, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yep. If you want to see what just happened, you've got to look into your MP3.
So I wanted to take a moment real quick. Danganronpa's.
I thought we were talking about on PSN. I apologize.
No.
Just in general.
So I got two gifts, or I guess three gifts in the mail. And by the way, don't send me gifts. I appreciate it, but you know, spend your money on yourselves. Don't spend it on us. But I do appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
A group of fans. Led by Amar Kestrapel. You think that's the right Kestrapel? Way to say that?
Let's see.
I mean, I would do it more pronunciated.
Kestrapel. So
Kestrapel.
Is she from Kestrapel?
Oh, you don't know.
I can't say it.
Nope.
I can't do it.
He just had that mini stroke thing you're talking
about. Yeah, I said it. Yeah.
So he apparently got some people online, a small group of people online. They know I love Danganronpa, and I specifically love Monokuma. My boy Monokuma right there.
Right now you're holding up a stuffed Monokuma if you're driving
and,
your car.
So it was in the Amazon gift note, right? And it says, so I'm getting this wrong. This is the one they sent us, was the action figure.
Okay.
This is the Monokuma action figure, which is very cool too. Straight out of Japan, by the way.
Straight out of Japan!
Obviously, because Monokuma is irrelevant in the United States. So he said, in addition to Amar, Vernon Parker, Daniel Wilson, Jack Bird, Rohan Bemania, James Fitzpatrick, Matthew Prunty, and Matt Middleton all donated a little bit of money to get me this. Now, I very much appreciate it. It's very, very nice of you. Totally unnecessary, but very much appreciated. Oh. Additionally, Amar sent me this book, Stupid History, Tales of Stupidity, Strangeness, and Myth Conceptions. Myth Conceptions. Mm. Throughout
myth
the
conceptions.
So I just wanted to thank them quickly on the air. Now, this animal, I got to go back to my desk. This came from someone else.
Monokuma.
Okay.
He's right there.
Running back to his desk again. But yeah, we have the Monokuma Kawaii Ne. Just beautiful.
What does that mean?
Really, really cute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kawaii Ne.
What's just kawaii?
Kawaii? Oh, no. Kawaii means scary. Kawaii.
Kawaii. What does the kawaii mean?
Kawaii is cute.
Okay.
Kawaii Ne is like really cute, polite. And kawaii is like scary. And I learned that my very first day in Japan when I thought I knew a little bit of that Japanese. And I told a lady in the grocery store that her baby was kawaii, trying to say kawaii. And I said, your baby looks
scary.
Really scary.
And what'd she say?
Oh, she sneered and like fled out the door away from the crazy gaijin who was insulting her.
No, that's not good. You flew too close to the sun on that one. You're excited.
I did.
You wanted to use the Japanese you knew.
I wanted to use all 10 Japanese words I knew. And But I really blew it there, and that was a very embarrassing moment.
Just to give a shout-out to Scotland's own Ryan Dinsdale.
It's me, Ryan Dinsdale from Scotland, Gavney.
I think that's more like a South England Cockney there.
Yeah.
He sent
me this stuffed animal Monokuma. So Amar and friends and Ryan Dinsdale, thank you for doing all that. Totally unnecessary. What's ironic is that these were for my 30th birthday.
Aww.
So I'm 30 years old and I got me a stuffed animal Monokuma.
I was going to spring it on you. Today's your 30th birthday.
Yep.
Well, yeah, right now.
That's the answer, man. That's why these sticks are getting flipped. You're getting old and your brain's dying.
Yep.
Here's the question I have, though. These two, Amar and then the gentleman from Scotland, these are just gifts that came. These weren't connected.
No.
Know you love Monokuma.
Apparently not, yeah. So I very much appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Colin. That's right.
Thank you. I typically like to keep my birthday so I tweeted out about this. I don't like talking about my birthday. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like my birthday. That's why we're doing something special this year, because I've never actually celebrated my birthday ever.
Never? Like not even
so
as a child?
So when I was a kid, and then when I was 21, and that's it.
Okay.
So like when I'm maybe up to 10.
Okay.
And then 11, you're like no more? With my family, but Greg and I and a few of our friends, our friend Eric Castro from Polite Provisions and, you know, my girlfriend and some of our other buddies, Charles, who used to work here,
Mr.
Ramon, my best friend from home, et cetera, we're all going to Kentucky in November. I rented a house there.
Whereabouts?
And in Louisville. Oh, and we're going to do a four-day bourbon tour, to a bunch of distilleries.
Well, first thing, it's Louisville. You got to learn to say that.
See, I was going
to
correct
you. It's Louisville.
I told Robert. Louisville. I told Robert Kirkman that, and he said I was pronouncing it. I was like, I'll say what I want to say.
Louisville.
Don't worry about it, Kirkman.
Well, yeah. I'm not from there.
Yeah, I understand, but I just don't want you to be beaten to death by, like, Maddox.
Why would we be talking about it that way? What are we going to be walking around saying the name of the city we're in so much?
What? Well,
we're
already there. Like, I'm here.
Where
I'm here.
Are we?
Exactly.
Yo, Kyle, what city we in? Louisville! <All right. laughs> We just keep saying it.
So it's ironic. But anyway, I like to keep it kind of secret. I don't really like, because it's a little awkward after a while when everyone's like, you know, happy birthday. But I really much appreciate it. But then I forgot that my birthday's on Facebook, obviously.
Yeah.
Then people on Facebook are finding it going on Twitter. And then I had, you know, I was just like, how did you guys figure this out? Is Twitter telling you my birthday somehow?
But now we're sitting on the largest PlayStation podcast in dare say we the world.
I wasn't going to say anything about it publicly. And then you tweeted that you don't like people talking about your birthday. Well, because which only brings in more happy birthday.
Yeah, I realized that afterwards, but I literally got like scores of tweets already. Okay, right. And I'm like, well, it seems like I thought it just showed it somehow or something in some way. Sure. I don't know. So I do very much appreciate it. My birthday kind of embarrassed me a little bit.
They had a Reddit thread about it saying happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Thank you very much. Number three. And thank you again for the very kind gifts. But no more gifts. Spend the money on yourself. Go buy a Vita.
Mark was really soft.
Go buy a Vita.
The stuffed animal.
He is.
I like that.
You want to hold him? Number three. Gran Turismo 7 is in development. And it's coming quicker than you might think. Series creator and longtime Polyphony Digital boss Kazunori Yamauchi has noted that it's possible the game will be available as soon as 2015, if not 2016. Are you playing with this little nub?
Yeah.
And that developing it on PS4 is making the process easier than it was for GT6 on PS3. He said, quote, everything will be running naturally. PS3 was much, much more difficult. The high quality of data that we have been rendered on PS4, I think, is going to make an incredible difference. End quote.
Okay.
He later said, quote, for GT7, myself and my staff have a clear vision to do everything we couldn't do in GT6. We want to make it very Gran Turismo. By that, I mean it's going to be a game that matches the very era that we live in 2015 or 2016.
So smart cars.
Yep, smart cars.
A game that matches the very era that we live in. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderfully ambiguous quote.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's great. What could that mean?
I think he's saying that Gran Turismo has always been about modernity.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think that's kind of what that's shiny. What I got out of it. Yeah, like, you know, the newest of the cars, the newest tech in the game. Yeah. The nicest tracks at that time.
The nicest tricks.
Speaking of driving games, number four.
Greg, win.
Drive Club is officially launched on PS4 and things aren't going too smoothly, Greg. For starters, the free PS Plus version of the game has been delayed, but the problems go far deeper, especially considering these problems affect people who actually bought the game. Drive Club can't deal with a high server load right now, meaning that for many people, it's playable online only offline unless there's an opening on the server for them. Evolution's director, Paul Rushchinsky. I think I'm saying that right. Noted that the studio is, quote, doing everything we can, end quote, to fix the problems, and the team didn't anticipate having server issues. They're even considering, according to one tweet, some sort of compensation for people who bought the game and can't actually play it as intended. Whether that is actually, you know, going to happen or not, or if that's just DLC or something, remains to be seen. New patches should be rolled out shortly that will help alleviate the issue, but right now the game's pretty broken for a lot of people.
Well, at least nobody was telling you weeks and weeks leading up to it that something was wrong with this game. T writes in and says, Beyond.
Beyond.
My head is spinning more than your ever rotating third chair over the problems Drive Club has these days. What impact do you think these issues will have on Sony? Do you think it is acceptable after a whole year delay? What do you think about the fact that the PlayStation Plus edition got postponed? I was so desperate to play a racer on my PS4, but I wanted to try the PlayStation Plus free version first and then eventually upgrade. Now I'm left with nothing but deep anger. Thanks for your opinions. Winky face emoticon smile. P.S. I thought Drive Club would be a racing experience beyond my wildest expectations. T. There's a whole bunch of problems with Drive Club. Mm-hmm. We were off to New York Comic Con. People were tweeting us about it. Why aren't we writing about it? What are you doing, IG? And we're like, we're in a plane. I don't know what's happening with Drive Club. I can't help you beyond that.
Plane Club.
Yeah,
I'd
man.
I'd play Plane Club.
Just when you thought the Drive Club story couldn't get worse. You know what I mean? We talked. There's been three. This will be the third consecutive numbered episode where we've talked about the fact that at first we were like, marketing's off. I don't know anything about the sim racer. Then everybody's like, it's an arcade racer. Then in between those, the people who wrote in to correct us, and we were saying that the marketing's so off on this game, we don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. They wrote in like, no, you're still wrong. It's a mix between sim and arcade. And I'm like, Drive Club's got plenty of problems. Yeah.
Drive Club's a grease fire, and there are better games out there. So play something else. Buy something else.
Yeah, I mean,
if you bought it, I don't know what to do for you because, I mean, I have a lot of sympathy.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, totally.
You're just already screwed. get what you can back and trade in and go play a good game.
Yeah, what impact do these issues have on Sony? I mean, this is total. This reminds me a lot of like a MotorStorm Apocalypse thing, right? Where it was like, we're finally launching this game. There's the earthquake in Japan that screws everything up. They backed off. They put it out later with no publicity, nothing, and it just comes out and dies.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not, the implications for Sony, I don't know, the implications for Evolution are going to be very serious, I think, and like the, I mean, I don't know, you know, it doesn't bode well for Evolution. I don't know, like, you know, hopefully nothing, no tragedy happens to that studio or whatever, but it's just like, if you're looking at where they're investing their money and who's using their money best, and they only have obviously a finite amount of money to give to their studios and to second and third parties, and Evolution already took a year longer than they needed to make the game or were intending
supposed
to, and then the game doesn't even work.
It's a very public faceplant,
yeah,
and they can't afford that right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, this reminds me a lot, like we were saying, of it reminds me of Zipper. You know, it's like, like MotorStorm Apocalypse was not Evolution's fault. In fact, that was a good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by accounts, Drive Club's a good game too. I'm not going to play it.
If you can
play
it.
Yeah. But you can't play the game. Like, I don't understand how you could screw it up that bad. You know, like, not only not getting the game out because something's inherently wrong at the core of it, but then, like, launching it and it doesn't work. And the free version of the game that a lot of people were excited about to try to get them in is more of a Drive Club as a service or get them to buy the full game or DLC or whatever, doesn't work either. And in fact, it doesn't work so much that they didn't even put it up and they didn't say anything about it until after the store had already updated and everyone's like, where the hell is it?
I want to clarify on that. I was pretty hard on it there early. It's a fine game if you can play it. And if you can't play it, then what good does it do you? It's games that don't work are inherently bad. That's...
Jared Petty.
The story, I always say the story behind the game is more often than not more interesting and better than the game itself.
Uh-huh.
And the story behind Drive Club is probably really good because there's just so many unanswered questions about, people were saying like they had problems with the interface and all these kinds of things. I know, but like a year's worth of problems.
Yeah.
For a game that was delayed only right before PS4 came out. And by the way, the delay, if we remember correctly, leaked and then they had to confirm it.
Yep.
You know, so like it wasn't even like they were planning on saying anything for a while at that point. And then it goes a full year and then the game comes out and it looks better and it plays better according to a lot of people. And the reviews were pretty good for Drive Club.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I think in, you know, the high sevens, probably Metacritic, maybe even low eights. I'm not quite sure. I was reading a few of them and trying to catch up on the game. But then like slowly... like, you start getting tweets and reading more, and it's like, what the hell is going... like, why doesn't it work? Yeah. I feel really bad for people that really were excited about this game, that people that really like racing games...
There was a lot of reason to be excited for it. I mean, yes, it was obviously a development mess, but it looked like a pretty solid, good racer. And what came out was, but you can't get to it. And, gosh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, what happens with Evolution and, you know, if they're able to do a sequel or whatever because... or if they're just going to continue to support the game because we know now from Kaz's, Kazunori's words that Gran Turismo 6 or 7 is coming in hot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to put Drive Club out of its misery, you know, in terms of, like, interest of an exclusive racers.
Yep. Yeah.
Racers only get a small window.
Especially because I thought that, you know, this was arcade and it's not. But the sim, it's not going to... be relevant at all.
No, the racers are all about what you talked about earlier, modernity. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe GT most of all, but all of them bank on being the slickest, the best, the newest for that particular moment, and that window is really narrow.
Well, I mean, talking about windows, I mean, pulling back, games sell the most when they first release.
Yeah.
They, you know, I mean, this game is out now, and all of the news and headlines are, this is broken.
Yeah.
So they don't get to. I mean, like you're talking about, like people you feel bad for. SOCOM's a great example. Zipper's a great example, mm-hmm. right? That launched, and then the network went down. And by the time the network was fixed, nobody cared about SOCOM. Like you lose that. You have the sales spike, and then it drops, right? By the time we get to where there's a story that like Drive Club's A-OK. Is anybody care? Maybe the redemption will be the PlayStation Plus version. You can jump in and see what you were missing when that works. But taste in everybody's mouth.
I hate to beat on Evolve because, I mean, the people that work there, the vast majority of them.
Oh, Evolution.
Or, I said it's Evolve. Jeez, like, Evolution. Why did I just say that?
Evolve's a game.
You're going to stab them for their delay.
Well aware of that.
Greetings, Internet. Delay.
I am ignorant. With Evolution, I mean, the vast majority of people who work there are far more creative and intelligent than I could ever hope to be.
Yeah.
They're producing products that I could never do, doing things I couldn't imagine being able to do. But as bad as I feel for them in this situation, I feel worse for the people who bought the game and are getting screwed.
Right.
Absolutely. It's something went seriously wrong with this game. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I really want to hear more about it. But it really is equivalent to Zipper with SOCOM and then Unit 13. The difference is that Unit 13 was really good and it worked. You know, Drive Club is good, apparently.
Do you mean SOCOM?
No, SOCOM, Unit 13 was their redemption game, just like Drive Club is their redemption game.
I didn't understand what you're saying.
Zipper was shut down after Unit 13.
Right.
You know, and that was a good game that worked and people liked, although it was a Vita game, so it didn't sell well. You know, Evolution had, you know, through no fault of their own, MotorStorm Apocalypse was basically, you know, stillborn. You know, it just didn't do anything because of what happened. And now they got, you know, they had their second chance, much deserved second chance with Drive Club. And I just hope that, you know, they're able to rectify the problem for the people that bought the game and able to kind of sustain the studio moving forward in an environment where people are not going to trust them and where Gran Turismo is going to be breathing down their neck.
Yeah.
And if they, you know, Drive Club does really well, it rebounds, it does really well, it sells millions of copies, and they announce Drive Club 2 in, you know, late 2015, early 2016, well, at that point, everyone's going to be like, well, Gran Turismo 7 is almost here.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, you can tell that the timing of this game was meant for the original release date, and now the whole window is truncated on this game burning.
As the immortal Marshall Mathers reminded us, you only get one shot.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yep,
Do not miss your chance to blow.
Yep, totally.
Number 5. Destiny is very, very popular, Greg. Bungie has revealed that Destiny averages 3.2 million players per day across all platforms the game's available on, and the average Destiny gamer plays it 1.8 times a day, clocking around 3 hours. The average player has played the game 20.9 times so far, which is 18.9 times more than I've played it.
Thank you.
For context, Destiny had more players online in 3 weeks than Halo 3 and Halo Reach had combined during that span.
Damn.
All those statistics were actually generated by IGN's Chris Abbott and his play sessions. That's really, that's where
all
those,
obsessed than Destiny?
All 3.2 million. Yeah, he is.
He's more obsessed than Destiny.
Yeah,
Destiny brought his thing to his PlayStation 4 at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
We went out, he looked at his Twitter, saw that the guy was selling some gun he needed. He left dinner and went back and was late to the IGN party.
Yeah, I live next door to Chris. I haven't seen him in a month. Yeah. I mean, I can't. He plays Destiny. Destin pop on there, and that's what they do. That's life.
They love those big open, boring shooters.
I don't understand that either. I've played a lot of Destiny, and I was done 15 hours in. I enjoyed it, and I was done. And I tried and tried and tried to get pulled into the post game on that. But a lot of people are enjoying it. And great.
More power.
You're having fun with a video game. Mm-hmm. Yay.
All right, imagine.
We don't all enjoy the same things. Woohoo. Go, guys. Enjoy your Destiny.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people do. I don't get it, but it is very happy that so many people are getting satisfaction out of it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I had wanted to play more because I think the mechanically it's very sound. Very, very sound. Yeah. Everything else is whatever. But. Mechanically, it was very sound, but I wanted to play more of it. But now, The Evil Within is here, which is going to be my joint. I think I can't wait to play that game.
Really, I didn't know you were. I didn't know that.
I'm a big Mikami fan.
Oh, I did not know that.
My brother and I went to Boilermaker in New York City, which is our friend Eric's bar.
Other bar.
He's gotten both of his bars
gotten shout outs. Good job.
And it's an excellent bar.
Awesome.
Really, really good bar.
Wings.
Awesome burgers, wings.
Big old wings. Mm. Delicious.
Their whole thing is aioli, different flavored aioli, which is really good. You can order some for your fries and your chips and stuff.
Oh.
And then they make obviously awesome cocktails. And I drank a lot, you know, when I was having dinner with my family. And my brother and I were talking, and I bought my brother a Famicom when I was in Japan.
Oh, cool.
He's a big, you know, nerd like we are. And
Mark 1, Mark 2, or Twin?
Mark 1. Okay. And we were talking about Sweet Home. And Sweet Home is an unreleased in the West survival horror game before survival horror was a thing on the Famicom that inspired Mikami to make Resident Evil.
Right.
And Resident Evil was basically a remake of that. And I feel like The Evil Within is not a remake of the original Resident Evil, but a continuation of the spirit of Resident Evil, which is why I'm super, 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 super excited about it. And when I played it in TGS, I was really excited about it. I was like, this game's really good. I don't understand why it's not previewing well.
Yeah.
And I saw the reviews this morning, and I'm like, hell yeah. You know, like, I think he might have done it, you know? And we haven't had a real survival horror game since Dead Space, and I want that again. You know, I want that scarcity, that exploration, that fear. I don't want arcadiness. I don't want multiplayer. I don't want any of that crap that is not survival horror.
I've been going to Minecraft for that fix for a couple of years. I think Minecraft is secretly the best survival horror game there is. Largely because hours of quiet that lull you into something, and then suddenly you're like, and this, spiders! You know, it's very well done. But
the problem is, in Minecraft, I love it, you know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like in Minecraft, you turn the corner and you're too powerful too quickly.
Mm.
Where once you get your first suit of armor, it's like, Even if I get something gets the drop on me, it's like, oh, well, I can just back off, run away.
You must be better at Minecraft than I am. Okay. I find creative ways to panic and die. fall into lava while being chased by some horrible thing.
Death's rare for me.
Yeah. I'm also not as careful as you are, probably. Well, maybe some of it.
Sure, I'm very, very.
Are you meticulous? On point.
Yeah,
are you
very meticulous? Much so.
Yeah.
If I start getting too many resources, I'll run back and put them in one of my, you know, my treasure.
See, I have my on my chests instead, but I invariably just wander off and overextend and die horribly. Mm. Anyway, but back to this awesome thing that's happening. The previews didn't do anything for me, and now the word's out that it's good. It's a wonderful surprise, and
yeah, I'm so happy about this. But, I hope it is.
Do you ever actually play Sweet Home?
No. Okay. I've read a lot about it because back in the day, it's probably rectified now, but when I first found out about Sweet Home, which was like in the late 90s maybe, there were no translated ROMs of that game that you could run on like Nesticle or something like that. So,
I forgot about Nesticle.
I haven't thought about Nesticle forever.
So,
that's a Windows 95 joint there.
Yeah. And then SNES 9X or whatever it was called, the SNES emulator. And, I had an extensive NES and SNES game collection, so I wouldn't play emulated games typically when I was a kid, unless I was kind of curious about it and I'd never heard about it. I think there was a game called like Galaxy 9000 on NES or something that I played that came out here that I never even knew what the hell that was. Okay. But there were Famicom games that I was like, I have no idea what the hell this is. Mm-hmm. I have no prayer of ever getting it, so let me try it. And Sweet Home was one of those things where I think there might be game facts and stuff. Like, what's the point of playing it like that? Mm. What they should do and would be really cool is for that game to get more prevalent where they just re-release it translated. Because it's supposed to be really, really scary.
I played it, and I'm gonna come down on the side of that game has not been re-released for a reason. There's a good game in Sweet Home. It's called Resident Evil. But the Sweet Home is actually quite tedious in places. It has some really good ideas. It's also really boring through a lot of it.
But the story is that the family has a kid who falls in the furnace. Right.
Remember the story once. I've heard it a thousand times.
I'm playing this in Japanese at that point, and my grasp of the language is imperfect, to say the least, as we learned from the ugly baby story.
Right.
I could be thinking of the wrong game, but yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was. Yeah, yeah, dead kid. That. But then the parents kill other dead kids. Like kill other kids. They'll kill other kids to give him company or something like that. Right.
Well, that sounds awesome. But what you really end up doing is laying boards to cross thresholds a lot, and talking to people in long, overly tedious conversations where you're actually rarely in any real danger, except that frustrating, like, bad old Nintendo game danger instead of the good old Nintendo game danger, where difficulty is arbitrary and horrible, as opposed to challenge based. And there's a lot of that in Sweet Home.
Yeah, I gotta figure it out, because it's a game that has a great mystique to me, and I just love the idea. It's why I love some of these more explorative games where you're exploring like buildings, like Outlast.
Is that Corpse Party?
Corpse Party on PSP.
Yeah.
No, Ryan reviewed that, and he that was a school, right? That
You're it came like super late. The school PSP. In another dimension. Yeah.
I don't think I even played it.
Okay. It's got that kind of explorey, the big haunted house.
Yeah, I like that kind of. That's why I like Gone Home too. Even though there's like no danger in that game, I really really love that game. I just like going into someone's space and not knowing what you're supposed to do and what's there and what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. So there's like no linearity to it at all. Just
PT?
Do whatever you want.
Did you play PT?
No, I've actually just been saving it because I want to play with my girlfriend. Oh. Okay, so number six.
Number six.
This is the last one. This is just our cleanup, of course. Geometry Wars 3, which I'm excited about, Dimensions, will launch on PS3 and PS4 on November 25th in North America and November 26th in Europe. Strategy RPG Hyperdimension Noir is coming exclusively to Vita and will launch in early 2015. And sad news, Greg. I'm really sad about this because this was my most anticipated game of the year. This is my most anticipated game of the year by far. Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, has been delayed. Initially due out in the fall of 2014, the game may reach market by the end of the year, but is more likely to slip into 2015.
You scared me because I thought you were going to say Freedom Wars was delayed.
No, Freedom Wars is, I think, through CERT. So, for people that are listening to Beyond Now, obviously, a week from today or the next episode, we're going to have
episode 365.
We're going to have the game's producer in, and we're going to talk a great deal about Freedom Wars, which is a very exciting game that I'm super stoked to play
a lot of.
That game when they came in and showed it to us, we played it for about an hour, four player.
Yeah.
The game's a lot of fun, and it's so deep. In terms of like what you're doing, I love that you're shaving off years off your sentence. I love that you can upgrade and synthesize all your weapons and armor. I love that there's all these quests and side quests and that you're trying to just whittle down your time so you can just leave prison and you don't really know what happens.
Suicide Squad.
It's very cool.
I can't wait. The problem is, this is what happened at New York Comic Con. Kids kept asking me what I'm gaming. What are you playing right now? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I was playing Destiny, but it's been like a week and a half since I touched that. You know what I mean? I've been traveling so much lately, right? That like that's what I've been waiting for with Minecraft Vita.
Yeah.
Is for these plane rides and these trips. And Freedom Wars is the exact same thing. Yeah. When I want something relaxing and stupid, just jump into Minecraft, go for a little bit. When I want to get into like this really deep RPG of like, you know, making my character and getting better weapons and doing this in what, of course, is my problem with Shadows of Mordor, in a technologically advanced world, right, where it's not orcs and elves, it's robots that are kidnapping kids, and I got to go out and help with my AI partner. It's like, yeah, totally, come on,
I'm there.
I can't wait. That's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a AAA game. So I mean, you know, people want AAA games on the Vita. There you go.
Buy it, and then when they don't, because if they don't come anymore and you don't buy that game, that's your own fault.
Yeah, I agree. I was people were asking what I'm playing. I'm like, I don't know. I was playing like, I've been playing a lot of on Vita, Men's Room Mayhem. So that just goes to show you, I've just kind of been like holding power. Right. And that's a good game, but
yeah,
it's a silly game.
I have not even, I've missed this completely.
You don't know if Men's Room Mayhem, son?
No, I've missed this completely.
Men's Room Mayhem was like an early Vita game. It's on iOS too. It's basically, it was made by the guys from Studio Cambridge, I think.
Okay.
Or no, it's Liverpool, because they're not there anymore. So it's Studio Liverpool guys. So like the guys that did like Wipeout and stuff like that. Huh. And Colony Wars and whatever. And it's a game, it's just a touch game. And it's just bathrooms in like different establishments. And people come in and they have to pee or poop.
Okay.
And you have to guide them to the stalls or to the urinals, and then people just keep coming in, so it's like crowd management, basically.
Think like Diner Dash.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
but they get bonuses for washing their hands. Like, they can't run into each other. They, like, get into fights in the bathroom. If you don't get them to the stall, or they, like, they're pissed themselves.
Okay, you warned me before the podcast started that we would probably end up talking about poop before it was over with, and we have reached that point. It happened. But it's one of those things. Yeah, this is probably not my jam. But,
no, it's a silly little...
Well,
like,
it's not, like graphic. It's like
it's not the fecal matter. It's not the scatological humor that I'm worried about.
It's very one dimensional.
It's a great distraction.
Yeah, it's just a fun little game to play. But like
Sunflower.
Yeah, Sunflower. That was a good one too. Mm-hmm. That was I really liked that game.
I love Sunflower. Loved it.
So yeah, I'm waiting for some of these games. Like Hotline Miami 2 is one of those games. Far Cry. The one other game that I want to recommend to people that's free right now on PlayStation Plus is Dust and Elysian Tale. And I wish that people had told me more, like, when I think this was on 360, like, some time ago, like, a couple years ago, that it was this good, because I would have played it.
Should read IGN.com, bro.
Huh?
Should read IGN.com,
yeah, just there's too many things. And usually people, like, alert me when a game on a platform that I don't typically play a lot of is good, because I'll go play it. That's typically people are on point with that. It's how I found Shadow Complex, for instance. Thank you. I, like, really love Shadow Complex. You know, and that's obviously, like, that's one of my favorite games of Last Generation. And I found that because people were like, hey, this is right up your alley.
And heads up, I think you'd like a game called Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah, play that. Sorry. So Dust
you like,
is,
you
Dust
like
is
Shadow
really,
Complex, then?
I love Shadow Complex. And I love the book it's based on, Empire.
I couldn't get over the dialogue. I know it's a beautiful, wonderful game, but I played it and I was like, this is really well put together, and I can't stand listening to these people talk. I'll just go play Super Metroid some more. I like the idea of Shadow Complex. I could not finish it. It was too stupid.
The Orson Scott Card book that is basically based in the same universe is Empire, and that's a really good book too. It's about, if I remember correctly, a civil war between the Democrats and the Republicans,
which we're almost at.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's a really talented writer. Unpopular for some reasons.
Let's stop right there. Like, who wins that war in reality? Like, if there was an armed conflict, because
if I remember correctly, like there was something. I don't remember the story. But someone will correct me, I'm sure. But it was something like something unusual happened where the Democrats were the ones that, like. Or the Republicans ally with the army, but the Democrats like somehow get access to like all of the high technology that they
I was actually
yet.
Talking about in this universe.
Oh, I don't know.
I figured the only thing more dangerous than an angry conservative is an angry liberal. Like that's where revolutions happen. It's like guys and guys with
handkerchiefs, handkerchiefs.
Not the handkerchiefs. No, what are the turtleneck sweaters? Like angry Russian dudes in turtleneck sweaters, angry liberals. I think that's the only thing more dangerous than angry conservatives.
Okay. But,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't know. I don't know who wins. In the book, I don't even know who wins because I think I...
Orson Scott Card wins because he gets our money.
Yeah, that's basically. Basically. Yeah. So, I never even finished the book because I brought it to a party at David Klayman's house in like 2008 and I was reading it on the bus.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't read this. And he put it on his shelf and I never got it back. He's like, read this instead. And he handed me The Road.
Oh, okay.
Well, and that's how I fell in love with
Cormac McCarthy. Yeah.
Wow. Jared.
Yeah.
Freedom Wars sounds awesome, but it's not out yet.
Okay.
If I wanted to know what came out to stores this week, where would I go?
I would call Andrew Goldfarb.
Okay.
Because he's down there at that studio that's making all the Borderlands and all them things now. And I'd call him and I'd say, hey, There's this Andrew Goldfarb Memorial list of upcoming games for PlayStation and all platforms and all this other crap that I can't remember the rest of.
That was really good. Okay, no, you did a good job.
There we go.
Trying to load it up.
Loading up on
trying to load up Goldfarb.
So the problem is that I can't go. I can't print from my computer anymore. Just don't know.
I can't.
Yeah, it's not working. Yeah, it's not working for the whole office.
All the printers have Ebola.
Yeah. Wow. Oh man. Do you start bleeding from their eyes?
Do you have like good service in here? Because I don't.
Yeah, I got decent service. Yeah, I got the LTE network going
like
for
you guys
me.
With your phones.
What do you want me to search for?
Just go to PlayStation Block.
Oh, you for the games came out this week?
Mm-hmm. This is a list of the games that came out for all the things that came out.
Yeah. Take over my phone.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't know who wins between the Democrats and the Republicans, but I think in a war between Cormac McCarthy and Orson Scott Card, Cormac McCarthy wins.
All right, here. While that happens, we'll start chipping away at some of the quickfire questions.
Okay.
This one comes from Brett. He says, not very PlayStation related, but this is a conversational podcast. Ever-rotating third chair, game of the year so far.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into this, and if you put a gun to my head right now,
it's not how quickfire
probably...
works.
Yeah.
Huh? It's not how quickfire is supposed to work.
Oh,
no, supposed to
Shovel Knight!
Oh, wow, okay, that's a great one. That's a good pick. You love Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight's my game of the year, too.
It is?
Yep.
Oh, okay, all right.
I was a little too verbose there, sorry.
No, that's fine. You did good.
Oh, thank
you. All right, you got your list up?
Yep. What do you think?
Game of the year so far? I still think I've had the most fun with South Park.
Oh,
South Park's in second place.
Yeah.
Dark Souls 2 is probably second for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Child of Light would be in third, Danganronpa, and so on.
Danganronpa.
All right, so new PlayStation games this week. Best of Board Games is available digitally on PS3 and PS Vita.
Why not?
Chess, Mahjong, Solitaire, rediscovered three timeless classics with the Best of Board Games compilation. Try out these updated classics for both beginners and experts. Play with Chessmen modeled in 3D. Chess a brand new Mahjong mode, and many types of solitaire. Free Cell, Solitaire, Spider, Pyramid, and Golf.
Does it come with Minesweeper?
Who cares?
Don't buy.
Borderlands, the pre-sequels on PlayStation 3 digital and retail.
Oh.
A lot better than I thought people thought it was going to be. Dead Island Riptide, complete edition, is available digitally on PS3. Duck Dynasty.
Oh, gosh.
Available digital and retail, PS3 and PS4. I'm interested to see what the hell that game actually is. The Evil Within,
it's not
as
what
we
you're
said
thinking.
Before.
It's about
is,
a duck ruling a kingdom. And, like,
I wish that that's what it was. Yeah. It was just a coincidence. The Evil Within is available digital and retail, PS3 and PS4. In Space We Brawl is available on PS3 and PS4. Cross-buy digital. Now, the cross-buy between PS4 and PS3 doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why they even bother doing that.
Yeah.
Unless it's indicative that's coming to Vita. But it's the same thing happened with Pier Solar, where it's like cross-buy between PS3 and PS4. I'm like, that's great.
You know, in case you want to switch it back.
Why would I do that?
Off the XMB.
Lone Survivor, the director's cut, is available on PS4 digitally. Minecraft on PlayStation Vita is available. Digitally only. It'll come to retail in a few weeks. Nidhogg is available on PS4 and PS Vita.
Great game.
Digital cross-buy. And I played it on Vita a few weeks ago, and you can actually play against someone on the same Vita, I think, by holding it.
Oh, nice.
On Nidhogg? You know,
yeah, by like someone uses these buttons. Someone, you know,
correct me wrong, Nidhogg is not, there's no place, you know, it's not the first of the year, month or whatever, right? So it's not PlayStation Plus related.
No.
Okay, just making sure.
That would work in
it. I'm going to buy it. I just want to make sure I'm not getting it for free somewhere else.
Yeah, that's an exceptional fighting game. Well, semi-fighting.
A lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly a fighting game.
Is there online or is it only local?
It's online. Fight each level has multiple...
Yeah, the PC version had online multiplayer.
Host
okay,
three
to, sure. That sounds awesome.
Playing next to someone is the most fun to play or host a 3-to-8-person local multiplayer tournament.
Oh, local thing.
So I guess ad hoc.
Thanks, son.
Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures 2 is available digitally on PS3. This one I'm very excited about.
Tears.
Peggle 2 is available on PS4.
Nice. Very
digitally.
Nice.
That's cool.
Peggle's awesome.
Senran Kagura Shinobi Versus is available on PS Vita digitally and retail. It's going to be a lot of perverted stuff in that game. I'm going to tell you right now. Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition is available digital and retail on PS4.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it? Played it? Done anything with it?
I did. I reviewed it. I played it on Xbox
it's already
One.
Done.
I played
okay.
on Xbox One, though.
Looking for collectibles. Go to the IGN Wiki map.
It is. I love that game.
The game was awesome.
I'm going to play it again. Tears to Tiara 2, Heir of the Overlords, available digital and retail on PS3. And The Walking Dead, the complete first season, is available on PS4, digital and retail. It's a hell of a week.
That's a huge week.
Yeah.
Big time week.
It's a big week.
Yeah, I mean, like, just think about the big, not even like, you know, we're making fun of, you know, best of board games, but you have Borderlands, the pre-sequel. You have The Evil Within.
Yep.
You have Minecraft on Vita.
Yep.
You have Peggle 2.
Yep.
You have Sleeping Dogs.
Yep.
And The Walking Dead, and that's like half the games.
And I'm going to advocate Nidhogg here, guys. Give it a try. It's really good.
Yeah, I voted for it. It was our game of the month in January. I played on PC. I was really, really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan
McCaffrey freaked out, right? That was the one where he freaked out?
Because
it wasn't Broken Age Episode 1?
Well, Broken Age Episode 1 was excellent, but Nidhogg was better.
Pound it out, bruh. Right. Nidhogg for life. Wolf pack.
Yeah.
You mentioned Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Our friend, how would you say? Yeah, from my Iraq writes in. It says, Beyond. To Greg Colin in the ever-rotating third chair. With the release of Borderlands the pre-sequel getting great praise from critics, I can't help but feel reluctant to buy it due to the fear that it may come to the PlayStation 4 with extra goodies sometimes in the future. Love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Keep up the awesome work. Yeah.
That game is going to come to PlayStation 4. Now, the don't take it to the bank, but you may want to take it to the bank. Think about it.
This is a check you're writing, but you're post-dating it. You're not 100% sure you have the money.
Yeah, well, of course we can't be sure, but I was talking to someone about this, I think at New York Comic Con. I'm like, think about what they're going to do or what they can do. 2K and Gearbox can say, in a year, be like, we're going to make the Borderlands collection on PS4 and Xbox One. It'll have Borderlands, Borderlands 2, and Borderlands the pre-sequel on one disc for $60.
That'd be awesome.
But doesn't that seem like the most obvious thing in the world?
I mean, it seems obvious you're looking to make a buck, but I imagine that Borderlands, PlayStation 4, whatever, PlayStation, mm-hmm. the next generation Borderlands is already in development. And you would hope this is just stoking the fire so that in December or whatever, they can do a trailer, either if they're doing VGX again or at the PlayStation Experience or whatever, for Borderlands is coming to next gen, blah, 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 and it's going to be its own game. You'd hope that they were being developed concurrently, and it's not just going to be all right, now port this game over and then we'll get them a new Borderlands whenever.
I think you're accelerating the timeline a little bit. I think that Borderlands 3 is probably in pre-production and and that, you know, that studio, Gearbox is not huge, and you would assume they're a big studio, but they're, you know, they already have some projects in the works.
Sure.
So I don't really know that Borderlands 3 really is in production.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure that they want to do it and they will do it, but this is a good way for them to be in a year when they announce the game or whatever, be like, hey, or maybe even in 2 years when they're like, hey, you know, we're making Borderlands 3, finally a real Borderlands 3. Here's your compilation disc of the other Borderlands that we, you know, 2K owns, and, you know, Gearbox obviously owns that, you know, that IP. So, I understand that fear because I think that that's going to happen. But who knows
quickly?
For sure.
I mean, it's the other thing, too.
No, I don't think it's going to happen anytime. I think you have at least a year. You know, at least a year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they weren't going to do that, they know that they're putting it out on PS3 and it's going to sell probably a couple million copies, but
sure,
they're kind of putting it out to die compared to if they ported it. So there must be a reason why.
That's my big
thing
is I, you know, love Borderlands, had such a great time with Borderlands 2 TVs in the living room. Christine originally asked me if we're going to play this together. And I was like, hell yeah, we're going to play this together. And now we're to a point, but she asked that months ago. Mm-hmm. Now we're to a point where finally the PlayStation 4 is doing everything I want it to do. If I really want to play a shooter, I can jump on and play Destiny. You know what I mean? And there's so much stuff coming down the road right now. It's like, nah, I'll wait. I can totally wait till there's a next-gen version of it, or hopefully next-gen Borderlands 3, you know what I mean, where it's out there, and I can just play an amazing current-gen version of it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I understand that fear, though, because I think the writing's on the wall for that one.
You agree?
I have nothing intelligent to add to this conversation whatsoever. I'm not really a Borderlands guy, honestly. I was not carried away.
What doesn't
away.
Click for you?
I've tried to quantify that, and I can't.
Okay.
I play it, and I'm like, this is completely all right, and there's things I'd rather be doing.
Sure. Yeah, that's games. Matt writes in to beyond.ign.com just like you can. It says, hi guys, Greg, etc.
Greg, etc.
Wow.
Well, he's like, no, it's hi guys, comma, Greg. I think he's putting the guys in front of me, which I...
Second
I think
banana.
He's saying, hey guys, Greg.
Second banana.
Well, I am the second banana on the show, but he's saying, hi guys, Greg, etc.
Right.
Not hi guys, Greg, etc.
Do you really don't think... If you were gone, things collapse. You know this. You're the linchpin.
Yeah.
You're like the thermal exhaust port.
Well, I don't think Podcast Star. Beyond would be the same without Greg or without me, and obviously not both of us.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the that's established, I think. Could it go on?
I'm just trying to drive a
with
wedge
just Greg
right now.
It's impossible. We're
unwedgeable.
We're unwedgeable.
Driven.
Matt goes on to say, it's interesting to hear your doubts about the usefulness of the upcoming PlayStation TV released today. I get the point of why would you bother when you could play on your console or break out the Vita, and the PlayStation TV doesn't seem to fill any real need, but you're missing a key use. I'm looking forward to the PlayStation TV coming out, but not for the use in home. I spent a lot of time traveling, bouncing from hotel room to hotel room, and that's where I think it's most beneficial. I've often found myself sitting in a hotel room, playing the Vita, and wishing I was sitting on the couch at home playing my console. Now I nearly can. I see myself taking the PlayStation TV and the controller with me, and when I arrive at the hotel, plugging it into the TV and settling in. Not the true console experience I know, but it may still be better than being hunched over a Vita for extended periods. That will obviously depend on how much the Vita experience loses when transferred to the big screen. There's also the possibility of remote playing your console at home and streaming it to your hotel TV, although that will be at the mercy of available bandwidth. To be honest, this may not be a realistic option, but it's an option nonetheless. Again, time will tell. That's just my thoughts on it. I doubt I'll use the PlayStation TV in the home, but when I'm traveling or the kids are going to their grandparents, it really hits its stride.
Okay, I can actually comment on this one now with something resembling relevant
destroy it.
Comment. Yeah,
tear them apart. Tear
my job
off.
Before this one, I traveled all the time, constantly, always on the road, going from place to place, living out of hotel rooms. And I had an Alienware M11X gaming PC.
Right.
A little tiny, like subcompact gaming laptop that Alienware doesn't even make anymore. That was my best friend on the road. Having as much as I enjoy handheld gaming, and I enjoy it a lot, it was nice just to sit down at that desk at night, be able to kick back a little bit, you know, lean, stretch out a little bit, and just dive into whatever game I wanted without limitation.
Sure.
If you're going to be able to pull off the bandwidth in your hotel to do this, and that's going to be the big if, because hotel bandwidth can
sucks.
Be an absolute nightmare. But yeah, sure, why not? Take it along. That's a great idea.
I guess it comes down to how you want to play it. My thing is still, like, if I'm playing a Vita game, it's designed to be played on the Vita screen how it is.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't need to blow Freedom Wars up. Now, maybe I want to, maybe mm-hmm. I won't. I mean, Minecraft's already there. Obviously, that's, you know, apples and oranges kind of thing. But, I mean, this is already small enough, and I do. But I understand, again, if he's playing hours and hours and hours at his hotel, he's got that much time to kill.
Sure.
Different story.
The bigger thing that he's missing is how sub-granular these arguments for PSTV are getting now.
Yeah.
Like, so I hear him because we travel a lot for work too. I don't want to bring this thing with me. I have my Vita with me, and that's totally fine. I don't want to play Vita. Like, the idea of playing Vita is fun because I don't want to play it on TV. I want to watch something on TV or whatever while I'm doing it.
Have that
but like
you
that, his argument is such a sub argument of a sub argument. Like, that's what people have to understand when we seem like a little lackadaisical about our excitement with PSTV is because, like, there's all of these sub arguments that, like, just very small groups of people, like minute groups of people, are like really excited about it for different
PlayStation
reasons.
TV big in the traveling salesman demographic.
It's out today, I think, like no one would know. Like, they aren't advertising it. They're not talking about it. That's all you need
they
to know
put
about.
Tweet today.
Yeah, great. I mean, the thing's gonna sell. Like, it's gonna bomb. Yeah. You know, it's obvious. I'm gonna buy one. So, you know, don't blame me.
Well,
but
it has that feel of that corporate pet project. You know, sometimes things are released by, and I notice this especially in Japanese companies, sometimes it makes it all the way through production just because nobody knew how to say no. I kind of get that feeling about this one.
I also get the feeling that they probably didn't even really intend on releasing it here, and it reeks more of having a lot of stock that you need to sell.
Mm.
You know, like this just, it didn't sell well in Japan at all. They probably have friggin' tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of things just sitting there, you know, and like they have to sell them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really like the product. I think it's a cool idea. I'm excited about it. It's just it's a PS4 proxy. You can play your Vita games on it. You can play PSP and PS1 games on it. You can use like certain services. I'm sure they'll roll things out where you can use Netflix or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like, that's me. You know, that's not like normal people are not going to care. Normal people don't care about Vita, and you don't like, so they're not going to care about PSTV. You know, it's just the fact of the matter. I'm sorry. You know, it's. You know, with that said, I'm excited about it.
And enjoy it on the road, guy. I mean,
great idea.
Enjoy it on the road, guy. Let's get back to Brett's quickfire questions. Colin,
yes.
What would make you buy a Wii U?
You own one, so nothing. But if for some reason we ever didn't live together, which I can't foresee anytime soon because we're both, you know,
can't
poor.
Can't drive a wedge between them.
That's right.
I don't know. Probably nothing. I mean, like, I felt so burned on a lot of things, like a lot of the things that I think I would have been excited about in the past that, you know, Mario doesn't really do it for me anymore, although I love Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2, so if they made something like that, that would be very, very interesting to me.
Well, you say Mario doesn't do it for you anymore. I mean, those are like the two of the... Well, like, I guess it's been a while now.
It's been a long time. I mean, they've rehashed, you know,
right.
Like, they're, you know,
forget
like...
what I said, yeah. Oh, you didn't like 3D World? That didn't grab you?
No, or I mean, it's fine. Land, it's just like the most recent one, that's 3D Land.
3D World, I think,
that's
was 3D the most
World.
Recent one.
It's just like, it's cool, but it's like, I don't want to play games like that. I don't like depth of field games either. It's the same reason why I don't like Little Big Planet. But this is like worse, you know. I'd rather just have a straight side scroller than like, you know, like, and that's they can nail those. So, but you know, I felt burned with, you know, Twilight Princess, which I thought was not a good game.
You
know, and like, I couldn't find it on GameCube when I was in college because they didn't release a lot of them.
Okay.
And I didn't buy a Wii. I couldn't find a Wii for like a year. And then I finally played Twilight Princess. I'm like, wow, I don't like this at all. And this was like, this was like the one game I was really excited to buy a Wii for, that and Metroid Prime 3.
What was it about Twilight Princess?
That slow and boring. Those are the two words
that come to mind. I was going to say easier. What's the best thing about Twilight Princess? I played it and I love Zelda games. And it was just like, I finished and I was like, okay. Like, that was fine.
You finished it? Oh, I was like, I was committed. I'm like, I can't play
this. But that's the thing is, like, I say that and I don't remember anything about it other than, you know, turning into the dog. And then one of the bad guy had the like ribbons coming off.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time called them fringe fingers, and I thought it was the funniest thing.
Okay, that's really cool.
I think of Ocarina of Time, so many memories. Majora's Mask, so many memories.
Really?
Most recently, A Link Between Worlds, so many memories of how great that game was. Nothing remarkable about Twilight Princess.
I thought Twilight Princess was Ocarina of Time with all the annoying parts except for the long dumb tutorial at the beginning trimmed off. I felt like I was playing through 9 of the best crafted dungeons I've ever played through in a game. There's hyperbole, but I really felt that way. This is just as good as level design gets.
I just feel like the game was so plodding, though. Like, it was like, I couldn't even get into it because I was like, what the hell is going on in this game? Like, why? Like, I remember playing it for like a few hours when I first got it. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Okay. You know, like, because I'm a huge fan of Wind Waker, and I've said it before on the show, the revisionist history on that game, like, everyone acts like they always liked that game, is such everyone hated that game when it came out. I was one of the few people on, like, the GameFAQs boards and all the other plays back in the day being like, this is a great game, what's wrong with everybody? And obviously, Majora's Mask is my favorite Zelda game.
You're one of those people. Now I understand.
Majora's Mask is a really special game.
Right.
But, like, when you think about, we're going off on a tangent, but when you think about, like, Phantom Hourglass, I was like, when I played Phantom Hourglass, I'm like, I can't play this with the buttons. I have to play this with the stylus. Nope. That like immediately, I played it for 15. Huh? I played it for 15 minutes. And I'm like, and I went online. I'm like, is this really, like, really?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, you're really, really? I'm like, no, nope, not going to do it. And then before that, even Minish Cap was boring. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the time Skyward Sword came out, I'm like, I don't even care about this anymore.
Okay.
So, like, my excitement about Zelda, which used to be extraordinary, I mean, huge ASCII maps for like old Zelda games and stuff. Like when I was a kid, it's totally dead.
Where'd you fall on Spirit Tracks?
Spirit Tracks was the one I was thinking about. That was the first one, right? Then Phantom
Hourglass? No. Phantom Hourglass was first, Spirit Tracks was second. But, Spirit Tracks is the one that got rid of the stupid temple having to go back over and over.
But Spirit Tracks, you had to play with the stylus too.
Yes, you did.
So, like, when I found out about that, I'm like, I am not playing with this friggin' thing. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I'm not. So, I guess what I'm saying is, like, my excitement for some of their core IP has dissipated significantly.
Mm-hmm.
If they go back and make a real Metroid game again, like a real Metroid game, then, like, Super Metroid, I would buy a Wii U gladly for something like that. But, you know, I'm excited about Smash Brothers, but again, we live together. I'm going to play Smash Brothers every day when it comes out, but, like, so there's no reason for me to buy that console.
You play with me?
If
you lived with Greg and you didn't have a Wii U already, would you buy it to play Smash Brothers with him?
Yeah, I probably would.
Okay.
Question answered.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
no, it's fine. We're out of time. Greg, favorite Taylor Swift album? Red. I have no one to bicker with over that. Red's the best album. Of course, this is recorded before 1989 comes out, so who the hell knows? Time for our new favorite segment, the worst PlayStation name. This one is Front Bums with a Z. Beyond. The best part about the name is not the backstory, which is largely uninteresting. The best part is that I originally wanted Front Bum, as in vagina, but it was taken. From this, I adapted it to Front Bums with an S, which was also taken. From that, I changed it to Front Butt, which was also taken. My only option was to take the inspiration from the early noughties musicians and add Z on the front end. It pains me now that I had plenty of chances to think of a less embarrassing name, yet I persevered regardless. So no doubt, there's a few more front bum enthusiasts looking to change their names too. Thanks, Julian from Stonehenge, England. Let him change his name.
Stonehenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's playing games right out of the big Stonehenge stuff.
That's amazing.
But big old front bum Z with a Z.
Shuey, let us change our names.
Let us change our names.
For God's sake.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Podcast Beyond episode 364. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, Podcast Beyond is the internet's number one PlayStation podcast. It posts each and every Tuesday as an MP3, each and every Wednesday as a video, as long as everything doesn't go to hell. But we've broken free of Papa Shango's curse, I believe, and we should be okay. You can get the video on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and the IGN PlayStation 4 app, which is completely free. If none of that gave it away. IGN.com is what keeps the mics on. Go there, watch the videos, read the articles, join Prime, contribute to wikis. A lot of people did that for you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I thank you for bringing that up here at the end. I almost let that slip by. Not only did a lot of people contribute, a ridiculous number of people contributed. Woo! So first off, thank you guys. Second, if I didn't get back to you, if I missed you, please message me again because I got a flood and I'm worried that some people slipped through the cracks.
Gotcha.
So please, jpetty@ign.com. Please, if I missed you somehow, if I haven't written you back in a while, write to me. Make sure that you do not slip through the cracks. I think I've got most of you, but I'm pretty sure I missed a couple of people and dug through email and message boards, and I know I missed a couple.
Speaking of writing to us, Greg Way, make sure you keep up with all of us on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Jared is Petty, Jared.
C-O-M-M-A.
Nice job. Thanks. Good job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Always
I
a pleasure
love
having
being
the
here,
Reverend.
Man.
We love having you. Most people love you too.
Aww,
the ones that don't, they can get the hell out.
A lot of folks don't like me. I'm obnoxious and disliked.
Does Mama Kuma fly like this?
No. Yep.
Hey, and Greg, you know, I looked it up. I've been getting a lot of questions about This Weekend in 2. I don't know when it's
coming
out.
Yeah, where is it? But I yell at you literally almost every day.
I looked this up after last time you yelled at me. Yeah. Okay. So between the ESRB's rating of Suikoden in 1 and its release in the U.S.,
yeah.
a year passed.
Jeez. Well, I guess we're getting close now. We're going to be, what, 6 months already?
Yeah, we're like 6 months in. So that doesn't mean anything at all.
Yeah.
But I'm going to lean on
it's anecdotal.
To save my butt. Right. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, every episode of Podcast Beyond ends in a song we call Ryan's Wrap-Up. Well, it's a segment we call Ryan's Wrap-Up. Remember, you need to submit your song to beyond@IGN.com.
Your little ditty?
Yeah, your little ditty. That's a good one. Today's song comes from none other than IGN's own Damon Hatfield.
Oh, that guy.
He's released Black Cloud Volume 2. That's Black Cloud Volume 2 because I kind of screwed it up in the middle there.
Black Cloud Volume 2.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's great. This is going to be the track Modified. It's the first one off Black Cloud Volume 2. You can get it on iTunes or you can go to DamonHatfield.com. For the record right now, Colin is going and pushing Monokumo into the frame. This also shows that Colin has never watched a video version of Podcast Beyond because I never put the song portion in.
Oh, bummer.
So this is all just wasting your time. I'll break this out for you if you want and just put it out there for you.
I think we need to do that. I think all this right. needs to be broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, Monokuma. Enjoy Modified from Damon Hatfield's Black Cloud, Volume 2, Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. I shook you in my dream as hard as I could stand. When I stopped, you fell away, pockets full of sand, waking up a world away, cutting through the air, 7,000 miles to kill, I'll see you when I'm there. Just look into my eyes, you're watching it decay.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.